Yeah, okay, we'll do another one.
Are we recording?
Well, yeah, we are, but I'm going to have to, I'll have to take this part out.
Okay, well, just go back to the part where you say this is episode 13.
Hi,
stage
welcome to...
fright.
Anyway. Hi, well... I know, it's stupid, but what the hell. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 13 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's episode is
Stage Fright.
So we're going to talk about stage fright today, huh? Does everybody have stage fright?
I can't imagine one person getting away without having stage fright at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
I think it's varying degrees.
Yeah, it is. And I think with some people, it's once you put your foot on the stage and you get your first line out, then it gets easier. And there are some people that are just come off stage and throw up in a bucket. I mean, they're just really, really, it affects them that way. And when I look at them, I think, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? I do the thing where it's like after you get the first line or two out, you're okay.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't happen until I've already got several lines out. I mean, I start out okay. I'm not nervous getting started, and then there's just a moment in about 3 minutes in where I go, oh, guess where I am, and then I have just blank slightly at the very beginning, and I'm always able to rescue it. But I don't know, and then after that I'm fine. But I generally am not too terribly nervous on stage, until things go wrong.
My stage fright is almost always when I'm in the middle of a scene, and something has been added late, for example, or I've been added in late. So, for example, the last show we did was "I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change," and at a certain point, we realized that we needed to add company members to help support a song vocally. And so they added me into the song, into lines that I had not originally learned. And so I learned them late. And then every night, literally every night when I stood on stage, just prior to that moment, I would freak. My brain would go completely into seizure. And
I never noticed that.
I don't know if it's going to come out or not. I don't know. And it's almost every time something like that happens. It happened when I did Secret Garden as well. I was given a role later in because we had somebody leave the cast. So I took over for that role, and I was standing in the wing every night in one sequence, and I don't know. I don't know what it is. Pray God. Okay. There's the music. I think it's okay, there it is. But every night I'd freak.
Yeah. Okay.
So but I still walked out on stage.
Yeah.
I figured I'll just make something up if it doesn't come. So.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, I think everybody has it. As I said before, mine is worse at auditioning than it is performing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're putting yourself out there and you're telling somebody by whatever you're doing, this is me, this is what I can do, you know, and it's like the... Please choose me.
Yeah.
That's the line from "I Love You." No, yeah, but it's like the please choose me, and it's like yes or no, and no matter what the reason, if you don't get what you're going for, it's you take it personally. Oh well, I wasn't good enough. They didn't like what I did. Blah blah blah. You know, it's not ever. Well, somebody else may have been better for the part. It's always personal.
That's why
in professional theater is, man, if you don't have a shell of iron, you shouldn't do it because all it is rejection all the time. So that scares me more than after I've gotten a role and worked on it for a couple of months and then feel comfortable in the part. And then I can whatever. What bothers me sometimes is when things go wrong. Like I was in one show and the telephone was supposed to ring. And I was on stage with another character. And we came to the part where the phone ring is supposed to interrupt us and no phone ring. And first you kind of go, oh my God. And you look at the other person and you go, okay, what are we supposed to do? And you try and ad lib your way through it and hope you're staying in character and wonder when is the damn phone going to ring, you know, and then it does. But it's really, that's when I get frightened.
Yeah.
I've overcome my audition stage fright.
Good.
By going first.
Oh, okay.
If they ask for somebody to go, I just go first. And it's like, okay, get it out, shake it off, and go.
Right.
So going first helps.
Going first has always helped me. Yeah, because I have all that pent up energy and all those nerves. I think, you know what, just get it out of the way. If they ask for a volunteer to go first, go first.
Yeah.
So if it's a singing audition, I'll usually
and they
just
always
step right
ask
to the
for
front.
Volunteers and nobody and, ever wants yeah. to go first.
And you know, and a lot of times because I've done some preparation before I walk into an audition, which is a whole nother thing, but I still encourage people to prepare before they go to an audition. But so since I prepared, I kind of have an idea for a character, and I want to get it out as quickly as possible so nobody steals it.
Right.
So it's like, this is my idea of this character, and go. And then that way, at least I've had my chance to do it. And if other people steal that, well, then let them steal from me.
Right.
But that's my...
But you know, but you know what's weird about that is that if you get rid of your stage fright by going first, it also helps other people get rid of their stage fright because you've gone first.
You've broken the ice.
Yeah.
That's... Well... So breaking the ice in any way, shape, or form usually kind of helps. I mean, I don't know. People are always reluctant to be the first one. I don't know why that is exactly.
Well, John's not, obviously. So just make sure you audition when John's going to audition, and then he'll go first.
They're right.
There you
there
go.
You go.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I don't care if I first, last, or in between.
My strategy now, whenever I audition against John, is to actually fight to go first.
Okay.
So it screws him up. There you go. That's gonna screw now, then I have to learn how to sing first, but that's the only problem.
No. All right. Yeah, singing and dancing audition, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
That's right. What about people who just have the, you know, who are excellent? I mean, we have a couple of friends that we were talking about earlier. We won't name any names who are just, you know, incredibly have developed stage fright, but are excellent actors anyway and love, and in one sense, love being on stage. Mm-hmm. But then when they're in front of that audience, there's something has happened. And we've seen this not only in community theater, but you've seen it with professional actors well that end up with horrific stage fright. I can't think of any names off the top of my head, but you know that happens. It's got to be a psychochemical sort of thing, that they're trying to deal with. I don't know.
I think for some people, stage fright is chemical. I think there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, you know, whether it's towards anxiety or something of that nature. But I think that you know, anxiety plays a large role in that, and that can of course help be alleviated by, I don't encourage it of course, but I mean, once you're diagnosed with an anxiety issue, of course there are medications that can help you with that. The other way is just to have somebody stand behind you and push you on stage every night.
Yeah.
And I've been party to that. I don't know how many times.
Well, and I mean, not that I recommend it, but I've known people who've had a shot before they go on, and then it just sort of, you know, takes a little bit of the edge off.
It may take
a little bit too much of the edge off problem. And I know that people do that.
I wouldn't advise that.
I don't think the only time I ever took
a shot was when we were doing the dance from the Full Monty for our last artistic director's birthday party. And
they didn't go naked, folks.
We didn't go completely naked, but none of us were really prepared for that. And so we all, I think, had a shot of tequila in the basement before we walked out on stage. Yeah,
well, that's just not a performance. That's a party.
I'll say it wasn't.
No. I tell you, I thought that G-string was a little short. Anyway,
this is not helping people with stage fright.
One of the things that... We fall into irregular breathing patterns. Stage fright can create irregular breathing patterns, which then also create anxiety. And so just to stop, close your eyes, take 3 deep breaths before you walk on stage can make a world of difference as well, just to center yourself before you walk out onto the stage. Yeah. And there's a number of ways that I do that also. For example, I bounce into character. So I try to create a character. I try to think where I have been, what I'm doing off stage, and try to, so that I start to take on that character just before I walk onto the stage as well, so that I'm a part of that world before I walk out and not when I walk out.
Yeah, the interesting thing is one of the, my daughter was in grad school for theater performance, and one of the classes that they teach is relaxation and how to get yourself together and focus inwardly and outwardly before you go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly to take care of the fear of stage fright, you know. And as John says, if you can just collect yourself and take a couple of really deep breaths and just kind of focus on where you are and what you're going to do, it helps. It really does.
I directed a comedy once, which was a comedy about community theater, in which we spoofed people doing, you know, doing their relaxation exercises, but doing them sort of like double time because they were kind of in a hurry. And I mean, just, you know, really stupid.
As we've been talking, I've gone online to just check out some things that other people have said. And here's a, for example, they say you should smile. There are studies that say smiling actually improves your psychological well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And it just occurred to me that is something. Now, I don't necessarily smile, but they also say to energize. So I often will do like 4 or 5 just real quick jumps in the air just to kind of get my energy up and to focus that way as well.
I'll pass on that.
I did it every night. And, you know, every night just before I Love You, You're Perfect Now change, I'd jump up 4 or 5 times. I'd pump my arms up in the air. And
I've done that before. Up, just kind of noticed. Just, you know, exercise in essence. Get the heart rate up slightly, maybe even.
Here's one that says, talk to yourself.
Oh, I do that all the time.
I do that all the time.
Well, I know. I get weird looks constantly. But it says talk to yourself, but don't tell yourself bad things. Tell yourself good things.
Yep. Hi, Dave. Shut up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say to yourself, talking, I know talking. I'm going to forget this. I'm going to forget this. You have to say to yourself, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Yep. I am.
And that's positive. That's
Henry
positive
VIII.
Thinking.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You know, and that's part of that whole relaxation thing. Mm-hmm. Relax and have positive thinking, and it's going to be okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, and also, it helps if you have supportive people around. I mean, a positive atmosphere in the whole rehearsal process. If the whole rehearsal process has been positive and fun and kind of, you know, pro growth in essence, then you're going to be better off than if you've got a director who's been just, you know, difficult, or where, you know, there's been a lot of tension in through the rehearsal period.
Oh,
because then, I mean, and you think that community theater, because it's about community, would have fairly low stress rehearsals, but it isn't always the case. And you do end up with sometimes a director who isn't managing that very well. And so you try to keep the director can have a whole lot to do with that, I think.
Absolutely. You have to try and keep everything upbeat and positive, even when you're like giving notes. I had someone tell me recently that I was giving very negative notes. I just would jump in and say, you're not doing this right, blah, blah, blah. And this person said, first, you have to create a positive atmosphere and say, I really, really liked what you did here. Now, maybe over here you could try something a little different. And I can't believe how that worked.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I try to do it both ways. I like what you're doing there, but, mm-hmm. you know, let's try this, you know, or something, you know, where they know that it isn't exactly what you're looking for, but it's, you know, it's maybe, you know, as much in the ballpark as you can, bring them to it, then that's better. It's a more positive way of handling it. But I've been able to actually literally go up and just kind of, you know, like make fun of someone doing something when I know that they'll take it the right way and everybody has a good laugh and it's like, no, I'm serious.
Don't ever do that to me. You're rolling your eyes.
But I've done,
don't ever do that to me.
Well, the funniest one that ever happened was I had one woman who was in a play and she was a pretty good natured person. So I knew I could do this, but she would strike a pose on a line every time. And I finally got to say, you know, you look like you're the hood ornament on a Rolls, because that's what she did. She looked like a, you know, anyway, so, and it was like everybody laughed and she laughed and everybody was fine. And she knew exactly what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked, you know, but I'm never insulting. I mean, you can't do that.
No. And I think and focusing, you know, just getting everybody to focus really helps with the stage fright issue too. And
right.
The director has so much control over what happens. Directors, stage managers even have that kind of control as well. So I think we've talked about the circle and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that just that
right.
focusing moment before everybody walks on stage. And again, it's a kind of a relaxation technique where everybody gets together. They kind of just think about what's going to happen, what they're doing. And so, and then if they think about it and get it all together, just before they walk out, everybody's as one mind. So,
right.
And knowing that you can rely on your other actors helps too.
Right.
You know.
Do you think it's easier to do that in a small cast show or a large cast show? I mean, the difference between the musical we just did, which had six people in it, or the one that's coming up in June, which has a cast of thousands or something.
29, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think if the director creates a sense of community with the company, no matter what, I think that it's just as easy to do.
I think it may be slightly harder to build the community with a larger cast, but not a lot. I don't know that it's that people all kind of, you know, if you've got a good director, he's set up the big happy family. I mean, that's part of the goal, you know, and that everybody's working together on stuff. And so I think, I don't know, I would say it probably is harder with a bigger cast, but not impossible, and certainly maybe even not even a lot harder, just a little harder.
Well, I don't know, you've worked with bigger casts more recently than I have, so
do you think that having a situation where maybe you have and we were talking about pet peeves in one of our previous episodes about kind of unfocused cast members, or where you have, I don't mean unfocused, but where you have kind of like a certain amount of backstage chaos, you know, fooling around, you know, giggling, snickering, messing around, that kind of stuff, that maybe that throws some people off to the point where they feel like they're out of control and have adds to stage fright?
By far, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Any backstage distractions at all, and that's a whole backstage anything. Backstage romances, which we could talk about probably a whole other episode at some point, but all that stuff can easily, you know, somebody just simply whispering in the wing to their friend, telling them latest joke, or the fact that
a whisper is never a whisper when it's in the wings.
Yeah, never. You know, that they just bought a new blouse or whatever, and they've just got to share that information. Well, it can really throw the people on stage. And if you've got a performer who already has problems concentrating or focusing, and that can really throw somebody into.
Or what about the backstage prankster stuff?
Oh.
I don't put up with that.
If your show is going really, really well and you have a brush-up rehearsal, to me, that's the time. Say, okay, get it out of your system. Do whatever.
Right.
You know.
I always say don't do anything stupid.
No, but most recently we had an entire company turning into a herd of sheep backstage at one particular point to try and throw the person on stage, which it didn't. I mean, she was like totally unflappable.
But only during a rehearsal.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
No, never during performance.
No, so you really, I mean, I don't even think you should have to discourage practical jokes or that kind of thing backstage during a performance. I mean, you would hope that people in your cast had sense enough to know that when you're there to do a show and not to play around, you know?
Yeah, well, we've had some episodes where people have gotten a little carried away during performance and stuff like that. Yeah,
well, to the point, and anything like that can throw somebody. In,
yeah,
and putting alcohol in a bottle when it's never had alcohol before.
Well, yeah, or the
those kinds of pranks, things like that.
That's not a prank. That's disaster.
I've heard and I've heard Ex-Laxian food on stage and things like that.
Oh,
too,
for heaven's sake!
Oh, yes.
Are we playing at our theater, as a matter of fact?
Yeah. That I've never heard of, and I hope
I
haven't.
Or
either.
Jalapeno peppers in food and things like that people have to eat on stage. Just you know.
Okay,
yep.
We'll check with
it
you
happens.
After. Who
yeah,
did
you're gonna
that?
Have to know
we'll
about that one, right?
Again.
Yeah. Anyway, so so stage fright is manageable. Is that what we're saying here? Is that sort of our conclusion?
I think it's manageable as long as you have a good, strong arm behind the person who can't walk out on stage.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can push them out there, but
yeah, just
that's
push
true.
Them right out.
And I think,
yeah.
And I think the thing to remember too, if you're an actor, is that everybody has a certain amount of this. It's
absolutely.
Not just you. You're not the only one with the issue. So.
No.
If you're prepared.
Yeah.
If you're prepared with your material, you know, even if you go up on a line, you should be prepared enough that you can bring yourself back around. And if the people around you are prepared, and this is about the whole thing about making sure your cast is there. If the cast is working toward a common goal and you go up on your line, because of stage fright or whatever, they should be able to help you get back.
That's right.
And that's the cool thing about theater anyway. I mean, we rely on each other.
Yes, we should anyway.
Well, that's what I think. We about wrap that one up. This is all the time we have for this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember that if you have a suggestion for how to handle stage fright or a specific topic you'd like to have us cover in a future episode, or just want to write us and give us a pat on the back or some constructive criticism, you can write to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com or use our form, our feedback form right on the website at theatergeeks.com. Also, remember, buy a hat at the online store. Theatergeeks.com has got an online store and the link is right there. So we hope to have you, everyone, all outfitted by the next time you hear an episode of Theater Geeks. Got that? You understand?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, so, okay. Absolutely.
That's an order from Theater Geeks Central. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John. I don't take criticism well. John Shoup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are definitely Theater Geeks. You don't take criticism well. Well, yeah, I know that, John.
Hey, don't forget, you can win yourself an official Theater Geeks hat if you come up with the best way to complete this famous phrase, there are no small parts, only small actors, except that what you fill in is the part where it says only small actors. Come up with something more clever. Send it to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com. Come up with something pithy, something profound, something funny, something humorous, something sad, something dramatic. But fill in the blank and win yourself a hat. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by musicalley.com.